Society in every state is a blessing, but government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil, in its worst state an intolerable one. For when we suffer or are exposed to the same miseries by a government which we might expect in a country without a government, our calamity is heightened by reflecting that we furnish the means by which we suffer. And this week's opening quote comes from Thomas Paine. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And it's nice to be back with you again, folks. By the way, if you're someone who watches the shows on YouTube every week, if you don't listen to them on American Voice Radio, if you actually wait for the YouTube version, well, what you're going to find on YouTube is a 15-minute highlight of the entire show with a link to the Crow House website below where you can go and download the MP3. Because YouTube has restricted my upload ability, I am now no longer able to upload videos any longer than 15 minutes. I don't think they appreciated my last show, which was about ISIS and the Greater Israel Project, and they seem to have limited my account as a result. So please bear with me on that one, folks. If you are watching it on YouTube, be sure to go and download the entire show from the Crow House website. I may attempt to upload the full-length version to Vimeo as well. I was going to go back to uploading 4 15-minute sections on YouTube, but I really can't be bothered. I'll just put a 15-minute highlight up there with a link to the MP3 and hopefully begin uploading the full-length show to Vimeo as well. So all that was just a community service announcement, folks, but back to this week's show. Now, is there an attempt being undertaken to reduce the human population to something of a more manageable level? Is the earth even overpopulated? Is there a need to do this? Many people believe that there is such a need, but in any case, even so, is there a global depopulation agenda that is being implemented? I, for one, believe that there is, and I think there is an overwhelming amount of evidence to support this conclusion. And I'd like to share a little bit of that with you today. Now, in attempting to determine what's really going on this planet, it's important that people look at some of the smaller issues, although many of these smaller issues may seem to be quite major in themselves. It's important that people look at all of these issues and put them all on a global stage and step back and see just how things fit together. I mean, there is a very obvious effort being undertaken to homogenize humanity and to homogenize the business world and the social world into one manageable system which will encompass the entire earth. This is, of course, being done because the world is constructed in such a way as to be a business. It's not really about people anymore. It's not really about the environment anymore. It's really about the business model. If you can think of the world as one big department store, with each country being perhaps a different specialty section, then you begin to understand a little bit more and a little clearer exactly how the world is run and why things are done in the manner in which they are. And you also begin to see how easy it is to discard large sections of humanity, how easy it is to marginalize different countries. You can marginalize them economically or with trade sanctions or even with war, such as we're seeing in Ukraine at the moment. But the important thing to understand is that it's finance and business that actually runs the world. Even the wars and conflicts that we have, these are usually over territory or resources, which is all based in the business model as well. And when you begin to understand how this business model works, you see how readily humanity is discarded and how easily humanity is discarded, and you see the various methods that this global depopulation agenda takes. Because there is most definitely a global depopulation agenda that is well underway. And depopulation takes many forms and can be carried out in many, many ways. It isn't just with the out-and-out killing of people. There are various ways to discard and depopulate certain areas, and the methodology that is often most employed by the powers that believe they be is the slow kill methodology, whereby people don't really realize that they're being depopulated. They don't realize that they're being exterminated because it's done over such a slow and lengthy period. And when I say a slow and lengthy period, I mean these are very, very long time frames. Some of the plans of the so-called ruling elite span over generations, folks. They really have no problem with time, and they have no problem doing things in a gradualist manner, because it's much more easy to get things done if you do them so gradually that people don't realize what's going on around them. And this has been the way the depopulation agenda has been carried out. Now, one of the main tools that they're using in depopulation is, of course, food. I would bear in mind that there was a national security memorandum that was put out about 1979 or perhaps even 1974 by Henry Kissinger, where he actually said that they will use food as a weapon. And when statements like this are made, often people think, oh, they're going to starve out certain sections. They're going to marginalize certain sections of the population by depriving them of food, by limiting imports and things like this. But it's not just like that, folks. It's by using the actual food itself as a weapon. And they do this through the genetic modification of food. So they can introduce food to a certain area which looks good, but which contains virtually zero nutritional value. And while people are eating this food and it's maintaining their weight and it looks good on the surface and it tastes good and the people look fat and plump, they're actually not getting any nutrients and they start to deteriorate from the inside out. And there's also certain foods that have been introduced which actually cause sterility. You'll notice in India. India has always been a place where the population has been quite out of control. Enormous population growths in countries such as India, and these are largely vegetarian cultures as well. What's happened is that Monsanto has gotten in there, it's introduced GM food, and as a result, we're actually seeing fertility clinics start to open in India because people are having a very hard time having children. This is, of course, since they began eating GM food, because GM food is known to cause sterility over successive generations. Tests have been done on various animals, especially rats, and every single animal that's been tested with GM food has failed to produce offspring after consuming GM food for three generations. This is how the depopulation agenda is being pushed forth, folks, by simply preventing people from breeding via forced sterilization via genetically modified and essentially contaminated food. And this was what Kissinger meant when he said they would be using food as a weapon. And indeed, they already are. And it's not just in India, it's happening in the Western world as well. Anybody who eats GM food is going to find that their children and their children's children have a very difficult time producing children. This is why GM food must definitely be labelled, folks. This is why everyone's pushing for GM food to be labelled, and it's, of course, why the government doesn't want to label GM food. Oh, no, it's all good. It's all being done in your best interests. That's what they tell us, folks. We modify this stuff because God made a mistake. But, folks, GM food, I mean, a lot of this food is actually insect-resistant. Think about that. You get a bowl of salad, and you put it out there on the table outside and there's birds and insects and everything everywhere and nothing will come and eat your salad. Normally if you were to put food out on the table, within a few minutes there'd be a flock of birds gathered around it, picking at all the vegetables, eating them all. There'd be ants crawling into the bowl. But you can put a bowl of GM salad outside, folks, and nothing will eat it. Nothing at all. and yet they tell us that it's safe for human consumption. But insect-resistant crops, folks, these are crops that insects won't eat. These are crops that nothing else will eat because they know that there's something terribly wrong with this food. These are actually foods and crops that in many cases actually produce their own insecticides, folks. So you're eating a food, a salad vegetable, which actually produces insecticide. They say, oh, it's in acceptable levels for human consumption, but what is an acceptable level of consumption of insecticide? I mean, folks, this stuff shouldn't be consumed in even tiny portions. That's the way it is. It's the same with fluoride. There's been tests that have been done with fluoride that show that it actually causes cell damage in as little as 3 parts per million. And even as little as 1 part per million, you start to see cell activity greatly decreased. You start to see cells committing suicide. You start to see all sorts of problems develop in the human body with tiny doses of these things. And this is all part of the depopulation agenda. And they do it in a very clever fashion, folks. They marginalize certain sections of the population financially. They force people into situations of hardship by forcing people to pay to be alive. They continue to put the price of everything up. And then people are forced to spend less and less on the quality of their food. So they're forced to buy cheaper and cheaper food. They get down to these supermarkets and eventually they're buying the generic brands and no-name brands. And all of these things are genetically modified. So they're forced upon the low financial achievers, because obviously the low financial achievers are people who are not prepared to get out there and put their nose at the grindstone and exploit their fellow man in order to survive. And so they're not sociopaths, and so these are the ones we want to get rid of first. So this is what they do. The low-income earners are forced into situations where they're consuming genetically modified food, and then it goes gradually up the food chain from there. And the financial system also works very well and very effectively for the depopulation program, because all you really have to do is marginalize people to the extent where they become homeless. And once they're homeless, they usually end up in the prison system anyway. And once you're in the prison system, then it's very easy to discard people from within the prison system. Of course, you can sterilize them while they're in there by feeding them GM food. And they really don't have a choice in the matter because they're in prison. And these are all part of the same agenda, folks. And then, of course, we can also do it to other countries that are in states of hardship, such as Haiti or Indonesia or anyone who's had an earthquake or any type of a tsunami or some type of natural disaster. We can easily just ship GM food off to them as well and effectively sterilize another entire population via the aid package that we've sent them. And you see, this is why it's so imperative that people get informed about GM food and why people press their governments to make sure that all GM food is labelled. And if you have a government that says, well, look, I don't think we really need to label it, then you need to understand that your government is supporting the depopulation agenda, and you need to express a loss of confidence in that government and have that government removed from power for being in abuse of office as quickly as possible. But depopulation takes many forms, folks. Another method that is being used is fracking, the destruction of the water table in our countries. The destruction of the water table, of course, forces people out of rural situations and into urban situations. You push people into these cities so that they're living within concentrated pockets of humanity, and then it's very easy to implement all sorts of conditions for these people. You start feeding them fluoridated water, you start feeding them GM food, because of course that's all that's available on the supermarket shelves, and you force people into positions through financial hardship where they're forced to buy the cheaper food, as I said. And this all funnels people into a pathway that they really can't escape from. It just funnels them into this depopulation agenda. I mean, austerity, folks, the austerity measures that all of our governments are implementing, what's this all about? What it's about is depopulation. I mean, all of this talk of us having to tighten our belts because the national debt's getting out of control. I mean, who do we owe the national debt to, folks? We owe it to the international banksters who created the whole situation to begin with. We owe it to the richest people on the planet who have gotten rich by ripping everybody else off through a corrupt and inhumane and essentially psychologically violent system. This system is psychologically violent. It's spiritually violent. It inflicts itself upon us in our everyday life in every manner that it can, and it prevents us from being all that we could be. It prevents humankind from ever reaching its fullest potential, because the system is designed to funnel everything towards supporting an economic meme. And that's all it is, folks. It's just a meme. It's just an idea that this is the way the world should be. And really, it should be something completely different. And it would be if it wasn't all centered around supporting the economic model. And the economic model, as I've said on so many occasions, is designed to depopulate the earth. That can be its only possible purpose, because that can be the only possible outcome of continuing to support this system. So therefore, that's what it was designed to do. It was designed to exalt a very, very small number of people, to enslave the rest of the world to a fictional system of economic slavery, and to gradually discard all who are not needed to run the system. And we're seeing this being implemented more and more across the world today. The discarding of people has been absolutely horrendous, and it's been reaching mammoth proportions in the last few years. The recent incursions into Gaza, the actions of the State of Israel against the Palestinian people, has been a fine example of this. Even now, with what's happened since the recent genocidal actions, the 51-day onslaught against the children in Gaza that Israel dared to call protective edge when it was quite literally a wholesale slaughter, has resulted in basically turning Gaza into a super max prison. Israel has closed all of the borders into Gaza Strip, and we've also seen the Egyptian government bulldoze all the houses close to the border in Rafah and create a 300-meter buffer zone. They're also talking about constructing a moat across the buffer zone, so there's no possibility of anyone digging any smugglers' tunnels. This will be the end of Gaza. If they are going to cut it off completely like this, it will be the end of the people in Gaza Strip. And this is, again, part of the depopulation program. The way they quite literally destroy people emotionally and cause people to lose all hope at all and lose all humanity at all. For example, Israel has recently passed legislation saying anyone who throws a stone at a vehicle will be jailed for 20 years. So think about this, folks. A tank comes into your neighborhood, bulldozes your house and kills your parents, and if you throw a stone at that tank or respond in any way at all, you will be jailed and tortured for 20 years. This is the inhumanity that we're seeing from the State of Israel. And again, this is part of the depopulation agenda, folks, because what we see in Gaza and West Bank, as I've so often said, is a system of warehousing and surplusing human beings. And this is how humanity is discarded, and we're seeing it played out right there before our eyes. And if we don't pay attention to what's happening in Gaza and what's happening in the West Bank, then, as I've so often said, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And we're seeing this unfolding already, simply through the actions of ISIS in Iraq and what we're seeing happen in Ukraine. And Ukraine, I mean, this is the balkanization of Ukraine. They're all about splitting countries up into smaller and more manageable countries, folks. This is the whole Western plan, always has been. And in regard to the balkanization of the Arab countries, this is, as I discussed last week, part of the Greater Israel Project. But there are definite efforts being undertaken to depopulate, and there are definite efforts being undertaken to lock the world down, to keep people as under control as possible. I think that's a lot of what the Ebola scare is all about, folks. A lot of it is simply designed to instill fear into people and to prevent them from travelling. Of course, we won't see any real pandemic from Ebola until they develop a vaccine. And once they start giving the vaccine to people, then we'll see some major cases of Ebola, because, of course, the vaccine will be the delivery system, the way the vaccine was the delivery system for a massive amount of death in Africa via the polio vaccine. They were delivering an oral polio vaccine to children in Africa who were all HIV positive, and it actually said on the bottle in the instructions that it must not be given to children who are HIV positive. And of course, it was given to thousands of children who are HIV positive and resulted in the death of them all. And of course, there's no polio in Africa anyway, folks. There was no reason to undertake a massive polio vaccination program in Africa because the disease has all but been eradicated many years ago. It would make more sense to be delivering a mass malaria vaccine in Africa. But a polio vaccine known to cause death in HIV-positive people to be delivered to a country known to be largely HIV-positive is an obvious depopulation program that was deliberately implemented by the West. I mean, what else could it possibly be? There's actually been a number of people who have blown the lid on that particular program, and it's very, very obvious that it was done quite deliberately. So this is the way they do things, folks, and vaccinations are a very, very good way of delivering biological agents and pathogens to the people of the world. Of course, under the guise of protecting them and keeping them safe, when usually the very opposite is true. So this is how it's all being done, folks. Depopulation on a grand scale, and it's being implemented via vaccinations, via GM food, via the spreading of pathogens such as Ebola, via war, via austerity measures, via the financial system, and via every means that the so-called controlling hand, those powers who believe they be, can implement. Anything they can think of, folks, they are doing it in every manner possible. And one of the methodologies they use that really works in their favour is to keep the societies divided amongst themselves, keep the people fighting amongst themselves, and keep them distracted with little issues that seem important but actually aren't. Little issues like World War III, which I really don't think we're going to see, folks. I really don't think we're going to see World War III. I think it's a massive distraction from the balkanization and depopulation agenda that is going on around us. I think it's just theater for the masses. I don't think we're ever going to have a global nuclear war on this planet because the world is run as a business, and nuclear war stops all business. Nuclear war is very, very bad for business, folks. That's the bottom line. Whereas the threat of nuclear war is actually very, very good for business. And that's something I think people need to pay attention to, because we've been living under the threat of nuclear war ever since the 50s and 60s, folks. And we've never seen a nuclear war, and I really don't think we ever will, because a nuclear war will bring the business world to a standstill. And it's the business world that runs this planet. What I'd like to know, though, is just how much more people are prepared to take. And it's becoming so obvious to everybody now that our governments are out of control. It's become obvious to everybody that the West are actually the instigators of war and trouble on this planet. I mean, all of the wars that we've seen since World War II have all been implemented by the United States, Britain, and Israel. I mean, all of them, folks. It's not anybody threatening the West that causes these problems. It's the West just wanting to stomp on people before anybody gets too powerful. It's like we don't want anybody to exercise any autonomy. We don't want any state rising to a position where it actually might be able to look after itself and might be able to fight off an attack from the West. We don't want anybody in a position where they're able to defend themselves and be a strong nation that will work for the people. It seems that the West is doing everything it can to prevent that type of reality from ever happening. And it's about time the people of the world woke up to this and stood up and did something about it. I mean, we have an enormous amount of potential as a human species. We really do. This is why I do what I do, folks. And I've spoken about this many times before on air, that we have an incredible amount of potential. And that's what I'd like to see us embrace. That's what I'd like to see us realize. I'd like people to realize the potential that we have, to realize that everything that's been created on this planet has been created by us. It's all a product of human imagination, the whole thing. And we have the ability to imagine a completely different world and to create that world if we simply apply ourselves to it. But we're too busy running on the treadmill of this system. We're too busy complying with the rules of this system rather than experiencing the art of ourselves, you know, respecting the people around us and experiencing the art of our own lives and allowing them to express the art of theirs. That's the problem, folks. You know, we've lost our way. We've been led down the garden path. We've been led down this direction by this system whereby we think all of these external trappings are all what make us who we are. We think that success is measured by the parameters that the system gives us. We don't ever really look at ourselves and express ourselves and consider what we're really here for. We don't ever look at other people that way. We judge other people by their achievements according to this system, according to however many rungs they've attained on the social or economic ladder. And none of it's real. None of it is who we are. And it's the fact that we've lost our way so much and we're running around at the moment like kids in the dark trying to find the doorway, but we don't realize that we're holding the key ourselves. That's the problem, and that's why I do what I do, folks, just trying to help people realize that they do actually hold their own key. So yes, folks, the depopulation agenda takes many forms, and depopulation can be carried out in many ways. One of the most effective is, as I mentioned previously, food. And this is done in many, many ways, sometimes very subtle ways, folks. Take the popularization of chicken, for example. We've seen a lot of chicken eaten in the last 40 or 50 years. We've seen chicken become, in fact, one of the most popular fast foods and takeaway foods in history. And when you look at chicken, folks, when you eat chicken, you are always eating female chickens. You don't see people eating roosters. So you're eating female chickens, and these chickens are grown very rapidly in cages, and they're filled full of growth hormone, and they're filled full of estrogen. Estrogen is, of course, a female hormone. And because people have been consuming so much chicken, we've seen a huge drop in the male sperm count. So, of course, people are having difficulty breeding simply because the sperm count is so low in males. And again, this is part of the depopulation agenda. You see, it takes many forms, folks. And I would suggest that the high levels of estrogen in chicken are also very much supporting the androgenization of the human species. And if anyone hasn't noticed this going on, then I think it's important to open your eyes a little bit and look around. We are seeing women basically being turned into men, and we're seeing men being turned into women. Again, it's a very gradual process, but we are seeing a definite androgenization of the human species. And of course, too much estrogen in women creates all sorts of problems as well. And it's not just chicken. I mean, you're finding estrogen in all sorts of things, such as sunscreen. Now, what is estrogen doing in sunscreen? There has to be a reason for it to be there, folks, and I'm sure that it isn't to protect you from the sun. But you see these sorts of things everywhere, folks. If you really look at what's in the food, you find that there's all sorts of biological and genetic agents in there, and there's all sorts of things being done to human biology. And it's being done in a very offhand way, and it's being done in a manner that is very unnoticed by the people. It kind of slips by, and people just don't notice, and they don't really care. people don't really read the labels that's on the food anymore in the supermarket. They just think, oh, there's stuff in there that they need to put in there because it's in a can, and so they have to preserve it a little bit. And they just expect that it's all okay because they don't think their government would possibly do anything wrong. What they don't realise is that there is a huge genetic experiment underway, and that the human race is being modified, and we're being modified from the inside out via the food that we're eating and via the electromagnetic soup that we're swimming in. I've often said, folks, that you are an electromagnetic being. This is an electrical universe more than anything else, and everything you experience is electromagnetic, and that's why there is such a huge push underway to envelop us in this electromagnetic environment that we are now in. And of course, now there's talk in circles of injecting nanoparticulates into people to cure diseases. We can have intelligent nanoparticulates roaming through our body, looking for diseases, and we're told what a benefit it will be. And of course, such a thing could be a benefit to humankind. See, all technology could be of benefit to humankind. There is nothing wrong with technology. The only thing wrong with any technology is who is wielding the technology and what their motivations may be. The problem isn't the technology, it's who controls the technology. And really, it's the same with this system, folks. This system could work. It could be functional. There's nothing really wrong with the system. It's who controls the system that is the problem. But you see, ultimately, folks, with all of this, with all of the control of technology, with all of the control of the food, with all of the depopulation, the chemtrails, the genetic modification that's happening to this planet, with all of it, the bottom line is that we know this is all happening, and that the people who are carrying out all of these nefarious activities are criminals. That's the bottom line, folks. The bottom line is that we have a planet that is run by psychotic, psychopathic lunatics. That's what we have. That's what every Western political system is. That's what we have in this country, in Australia. We have a sociopathic little cretin, a full-blown psychopath in control of this country. He's bringing in legislation every way that he can in order to promote hardship for the people. He's making people pay as much as he possibly can to be alive. He's cutting benefits as much as he can. He's sending people off to die in illegal wars. And he's doing his best to get involved in the global terrorist regime, which is the US and its allies. I mean, the United States is the worst terrorist on the planet, folks. The United States has been responsible for so much death and hardship across this planet in the last 60 years that it's unbelievable. And any country that's supporting the United States, any country that's supporting Israel, is a country that is controlled by a criminal government that is indulging in war crimes and crimes against humanity. Gaza Strip itself is a crime against humanity. Its mere existence is a crime against humanity. It's not a crime against the Palestinian people. It's a crime against humanity. As was the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya and the construction of the failed state that is modern Libya. The military incursions against Syria, the illegal war in Iraq, all of these things are war crimes, folks, and all of them are being supported by the criminals that we have in power in all of our governments, and this happens because we don't realize the power that we have. And we continue to follow these ridiculous pieces of legislation that these criminals give us. They write rules on pieces of paper and they say, you must follow these rules, and if you don't, you're a criminal. When really, all they've done is abuse their power, abuse their position of office, and commit a crime by even writing such legislation. That's the problem, folks. The question is, how much are people prepared to take, and how much are people going to continue to back down in the face of such corrupt legislation that we're seeing from these people? Recently, there was legislation passed in Fort Lauderdale in America that made it illegal to feed homeless people. There was a 90-year-old man and two priests who were arrested by the police for feeding homeless people, and they fully intend to go out and do it again. And so they should, because what the police need to realise is that they are the ones who are breaking the law by enforcing corrupt legislation. It doesn't matter what the politicians write down on pieces of paper. Just because someone wrote something on a piece of paper and called it law doesn't mean it's actual law. What it is legislation that was written on a piece of paper by a sociopathic moron who doesn't have humanity's best interests at heart. And so the true law, the real law, the common law, natural law, requires that everyone break that legislation and remove the sociopathic cretin who enacted it from office and charge them with abuse of office and abuse of power. That's what needs to happen. But people have to grow a pair and actually get up there and make a difference and say this. And not only do they not back down in front of the legislation, but they say, I would like to press charges against the sociopath who enacted this legislation. I'd like to have them charged with abuse of office, abuse of power, and essentially crimes against humanity. That's what people need to do. That's the stance that people need to take in the face of corruption. Just don't back down and don't allow these stupid police officers to just stormtroop over you and enforce whatever corrupt rule is given to them by whatever criminal gave it to them. These people have to wake up to themselves. We seriously need to start employing police officers who display some degree of intelligence, because we're certainly not seeing it from the current crop of sociopaths that seem to be populating their ranks today. I mean, just the unbridled stupidity and sociopathy of a moronic police officer arresting a 90-year-old man and two priests because some sociopathic moron wrote a rule on a piece of paper, it boggles the mind, folks. It absolutely boggles the mind, the lack of intellect displayed by this individual and the lack of moral fiber displayed by him as well. That's the scary part. I mean, just the fact that someone could come and hand these types of rules to a police station and the police station doesn't turn around and arrest the politician shows just how far we've left the path of sanity in our modern societies, folks. I mean, laws are supposed to be put in place to protect society, to make sure things function normally, to make sure people are kept safe, and to afford us some sort of remedy in the face of crime. But that's not what laws do these days. Modern laws are constructed in such a manner so as to repress society, to constrain any individual creativity, and to extract revenue from people for activities which are basically part of everyday life. That's what our legal system's become. It's become a system which serves the system itself with utter and ruthless disregard for the people that the system was apparently constructed to service. So we need to stop and pay attention to it, folks. And again, the only people who are going to bring any remedy to this are the people themselves. But the people have to be prepared to stand up and make a difference. And all they really have to do is learn to respect each other. I've said this so many times on the show, folks. If we have a strong, respectful community, then we can have a strong communal response to anything the government tries to do. And that's the remedy. That's our only remedy. There is no remedy in any of these other methods. There's no remedy in the free man movement. All of these people, every time I post a video clip these days, someone posts on there, lose the name, win the game. These morons actually think that if they don't claim their name, then they've won. You know, look, folks, losing the name is an important thing. It's an important part of the puzzle. But you're assuming that this system is going to play by its own rules. And it doesn't. The politicians don't play by their own rules. They don't care if you have a name or not because they have a machine gun. And that's what really counts. And try losing the name in Syria or Iraq or Palestine or Libya or anywhere out there. Try losing the name and flying from Europe to America and let me know how you go. Because you're going to find that it doesn't work. You know, what you've done is locked yourself into a little bubble of spiritual narcissism where you think that, oh, I've found the way through, so I'm free. You seriously think you can be free while the rest of the world is still enslaved and while the rest of the world is heading for the cliff the way we are. We're collectively driving off a cliff, folks. We are collectively driving in a direction towards a place which is utterly unsustainable and will result in the destruction of this planet's ability to support human life. And if you think losing the name is going to fix that, then you're sadly mistaken. Now, the name is an important key. It's an important piece of the puzzle. But don't for a moment assume that these people are going to play by their own rules, because what we're seeing in the world today indicates that they're not. What they did in Gaza shows that they're not. What they're doing with ISIS shows that they're not going to play by their own rules. They don't care, folks. They will do anything they can to suppress and control everybody they can, and they'll do it by any means possible. And all they have to do is employ a police force that is stupid enough to go along with anything they say. And that's what we've got at the moment. And these police don't care whether you lose the name or not, folks. These guys are sociopaths who like hurting people, and that's what they do. So, sure, it's an interesting piece of the puzzle, and you can use it to explain to people what's going on, but don't be so stupid as to think that you're free simply because you're not using your name anymore, because nothing could be further from the truth. All you've done is locked yourself into a bubble of spiritual narcissism and essentially inaction, and you're just allowing the world to be destroyed around you because you mistakenly believe you are free. That's what I'm seeing from a lot of the free man movement. The free man movement's been very useful in exposing the fiction, but you won't find any remedy in anywhere in the free man movement because the system simply does not play by its own rules. It puts the rules there to constrain you. But once you find a way through it, well, it might let one or two people have a little bit of success with this, but once a lot of people start doing it, they just change the playing field, or in a worst-case scenario, they just bring in martial law and lock the whole place down anyway. And that's the reality of the situation, folks. You know, we've got a very, very dangerous situation developing on this planet, and it's time people stood up and shook off the shackles of narcissism and the shackles of inaction and actually stood up and stood in respect and made a difference. And that's the problem with a lot of the free man movement as well, as these narcissistic individuals become quite insulting to the people around them who don't get it and don't think the way they do. So really, most of them are not anywhere near as spiritually advanced as they like to believe they are, because all they do is attack other people. Like I said, folks, the free man movement has been an interesting learning curve, and it's been useful at exposing the fiction, but it has certainly never afforded any remedy to people. No real remedy, anyway. In fact, I've never heard anyone present any real remedy. Personally, I believe the remedy lies in the hearts of the people. It lies in strong, empowered communities, and that lies in respect. Now, the remedy lies in a true understanding of yourself, enough that you can actually respect other people. To me, that's the remedy, and that's the only place remedy will be found. Hey, maybe I'm wrong, but it makes sense to me. And I'm certainly open to other suggestions if anybody has any. One thing I do know is that we can't do nothing. That's why I do these shows, folks, because I have to do something, and I figure if I can at least bring information to people and possibly empower them into action, well, maybe that will count for something. Because I can't do nothing. And when you are aware of the global situation, you have that responsibility, folks. You can't just do nothing about it. We do need to do something. And what we need to do is find a way of bringing the information to people in a manner that they can understand it. Bring it to them in a manner that they can discover it for themselves. I've often said that before. You've got to lead people towards the doorway, but ultimately it's they who have to walk through. The best you can do is provide an opportunity to them for self-realization, an opportunity to them whereby they can discover the truth for themselves. And it's important that we all do this, folks, because the world has gotten out of control. In the last 12 months, things have escalated to a ridiculous degree. The powers that believe they be are just ramping things up as much as they can. This whole war raging across the Middle East, what's going on with Ukraine, the posturing against Russia, the accusations against Russia, the accusations that Russia shot down that plane. I mean, how ridiculous. Absolutely no strategic value in Russia shooting down that plane. Someone was commenting on one of my clips the other day, oh, you don't know Putin. Putin does what he wants. He does this just to instill fear into the West. What a load of rubbish. What an utter load of rubbish. There's absolutely no reason, no strategic value or anything in Russia shooting down that plane. What you have to do is look at the incident and say, well, who would have benefited from that plane being shot down? And of course, the only people who would have benefited would have been the West or Israel. Whoever did it was someone who wants to promote an escalation of the conflict in Ukraine, and that would be the West, or it's someone who wanted to distract you from other global events that were going on at the time, which could very well have been Israel due to the genocide it was carrying out in Gaza at the time the plane got shot down. But global events have really gotten out of control in the last 12 months, folks. This whole Western manufactured terrorist group, ISIS, ISIL, IS, whatever you want to call them, this completely anti-Muslim group that the world is calling a Muslim extremist group when they're just an extremist group. They're not a Muslim extremist group. They're just extremists because they're certainly not abiding by any religious doctrine. You couldn't call them Muslim extremists any more than you could call them Christian extremists or Jewish extremists because really they're not going by any religion at all. They're just extremists that are out to kill as many people as possible and provide an excuse for Western intervention and the carpet bombing of the Arab world. And that's basically what we're seeing, and I think it will develop into something a lot worse than what it is now if the people of the world don't stand up and do something about their out-of-control governments and the crimes that these governments are committing, because they are. They're all committing crimes. This is a war crime. The whole thing is a war crime. The United States government and its allies have been indulging in war crimes ever since the war crime that was 9/11, which I believe itself was carried out by elements within the United States and Israeli governments to begin with. And it was 9/11 which paved the way for this massive war against Islam that we are seeing now. And that's what the war on terror is, folks. It's a war against Islam. And if you seriously think it's anything else, I would suggest that you simply haven't stepped back and looked at the bigger picture. And you're fooling yourself. But the thing is that while the war on Islam is being waged, there is another war that is being waged against the people of the Western world, and it's the same people who are waging it. It's our governments. And the war that's being waged against the people of the Western world is a war for control of their minds, a war for control of their bodies. A war of genetic manipulation, a war of depopulation, a war of debt slavery. There are so many ways that this government uses to get in the face of the people and to carry out its war against the people. And you know, people are waiting for World War III. They're waiting for the New World Order to be brought about by some massive external threat. But they don't realize that World War III has been waging for years. Because World War III is a war being waged against the people by the governments of their countries. And they're doing it in every manner possible. And a lot of what's going on externally, a lot of what's going on in Ukraine, a lot of what's going on in Syria is just part of the depopulation agenda, but it's also done in such a manner so as to distract people from what's going on in their own backyard. To distract people from ever really taking the time to look around them at their own environment, their own habitat. They're just too busy looking at the TV and hearing about all the fear on the television to really notice what's happening right around them right now. To notice what's happening to their children, to even be concerned about what they're feeding their children. You know, people just buy this packaged food from the supermarket and they just think, oh, it's convenient, it's okay. But really they're being grossly irresponsible in doing so because what they are doing is genetically modifying their children by feeding them unwholesome and genetically modified food. What they are doing is paving the way for this depopulation agenda to be rolled out and paving the way for the New World Order to be rolled in. And people are doing this simply via their own apathy. Apathy is terminal, folks. Apathy kills. It's a dangerous thing. And apathy has led us to the situation that we're now in. And the situation has gotten serious enough that people really need to shake off their apathy. And we are seeing it, folks. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people waking up around the place, I must admit. I'm seeing more and more people becoming aware that we have a problem. Half of them aren't really aware of what the problem is. They're just aware that we do have a problem. They're aware that things are very different now to what they used to be a few years ago. And they're seeing that perhaps their attention is needed. They just don't really know what to do. They don't really know how to talk about it with people. And I think a lot of this is because people are kept in a disempowered emotional and intellectual state due to the fluoride in the water. People are losing their cognitive function. They're losing their focus. You know, to be able to focus on these issues and maintain focus and maintain intelligent and eloquent discussion on these issues and maintain solution-based discussions. People are just finding it hard to do. They're finding it hard to see a way out because they're just not thinking that clearly because of the outside influences in their environment, the toxins that they're eating, the toxins that they're drinking, the electromagnetic soup that they're swimming in, and the electromagnetic field created by the television, and also the disinformation they're constantly fed by the television. Disinformation and propaganda and towing the government line. That's all we get from the media these days, folks, and it's about time we turned these things off and started focusing on our community ourselves. Started having public meetings again, town hall meetings. We used to have meetings, weekly meetings in the town hall where the people would get together and they'd discuss the local situation. We don't do that anymore. We have to get a permit if we want to meet with people. We have to get all these sorts of government arrangements and all sorts of stuff. It's ridiculous. And we haven't got any way of finding remedy because we can't depend on the system that is put there to provide us remedy, which is the legal system and the police system. We can't go to the police and say, hey, we've got a problem with our politicians. They're all corrupt, because the police will probably arrest you for even suggesting that the politicians are corrupt, because the police don't support the people anymore. They only support the system. And that's a huge problem as well. But all of this stuff is becoming apparent to people. And it's even just providing this information to people, getting people to step back a little bit and just look and say, well, hang on, how come the police don't support us anymore? How come all the police do is enforce law now? And when you look at the law that they're enforcing, most of the law does not serve the best interest of society. So what happened to our society? What happened to our police force? What happened to our politicians? What's happening to us as a result? These are the questions that people need to be asking. And these are normal, intelligent questions. And people usually, when faced with such questions, pay a little bit of interest and think, well, hang on, yeah, this makes sense. Why is the world happening this way? And then when they become aware that the world is going down this path, they get to see that there needs to be a strong communal response to this situation, because that's the only thing that is going to remedy the situation. And that's why we have to work on breaking down these barriers in our communities, folks, and creating a strong, empowered community around us so that we can stand together and make a difference. And I truly believe that that is precisely what this time in history is, folks. It's the time the human race actually woke up to itself, because this is the first time in human history that the system has ever been laid so bare for all to see, and therefore that has provided us the first opportunity in human history to actually bring about effective change and actually emancipate mankind from this control grid. We've never been able to see the control grid before, but now we see it. Now it's right there in our faces, and we can see that it's all fiction. We can see that it's run by very, very few people, and we can see that their whole methodology has been to keep us divided, and so now we can see what the remedy is. But we're very close to the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me here on American Voice Radio. If you've watched the show on YouTube and you've listened to the whole show, then I can only imagine that you've gone and downloaded the MP3 from the Crow House, and so I thank you very much for that. It's going to be this way until I'm able to upload full-length videos again. I'm not sure how long that will be, but they're certainly not allowing me to do it at the moment. But thank you for any continued support. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. I really do need some contributions, folks. If you're able to, it would be greatly appreciated, because that's really all that enables me to keep going and do these shows. If you can't, well, you can't. I'll do them for as long as I can anyway. But if you can, it would be greatly appreciated. That is it for me, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, and don't ever think you don't have the power to affect positive change, folks, because you do. I look forward to speaking to you next week. In Lakesh.